Thank you. When we started diving into the 21st century model, we often talked about seat time versus mastery. What are you doing with those kids that excel and master that curriculum and they're still in the classroom 3/4 of the way through the semester? What do you do with those?
So specifically at Houston Middle School, we have we try to implement an RTI model, which is response to intervention. And so part of that model is having acceleration available for students. So for example, if we have a student, and we have a group of students who are in pre-algebra right now, but they're ready for some algebra applications. So a half hour each day, they get exposed to the algebra. And the same is true for kids who need more time. And so scheduling-wise, we have that built in to where we can meet the needs of kids. And we assess that quarterly through MAP testing, but also in our own school, we progress monitor every other week for those students. In terms of technology, teachers have access to applications that will do that almost for them. For example, Newsly is an app that will give a news article to a group of students. It will automatically adjust the reading level to their Lexile. So I could have a student reading at high advanced, and I have a student reading low, but they're reading the same content, so I could still have a group conversation on that. And what? I would think the other thing, just to add one more thing too, when we're looking at access to things that we can't offer, so foreign language, in terms of the blended model, access to that is much easier.
And hopefully across schools. So you got that kid that accelerates in algebra, or is doing algebra. You're moving him into the algebra world. And then he goes from your school to the high school or goes into algebra. Is he going to have to be retested and reassured and go through the whole thing again and start the courses?
So
in the beginning, or what are you going to? How does that kid then go into algebra and actually excel from the point that he is at,
right,
instead of at the beginning?
So I think for kids who finish algebra, there's structures within the school district that will give that student credit.
No, we're talking about the kid that's in the math class that has mastered that particular class, and now you're feeding them higher level math like algebra stuff. Algebra stuff.
So yeah, you're saying when he gets there as a freshman, is he gonna have to start from the beginning again?
Yeah, but the kid a lot of those kids are gonna master those algebra items, and now he or she's gonna have to start all over again when they enter Algebra 1?
Right.
Are they gonna be able to be tested and go to a higher level? Or are they gonna have to just sit there and already know the material that's there? So, I guess that's the problem that you're going to have, which is a good problem.
Yeah, and there are tools out there that can address that. So, for example, if we have a student who didn't formally take algebra but was ready for more algebra than the beginning algebra, when they went to the high school, they could have access to Apex Learning. It could test them, find out exactly where they are, move them ahead. And they could actually still be in the regular classroom and then excel on maybe some of the content that they're ready for. So that's that blended idea. And the nice thing about it is if you truly have that blended model, that acceleration could happen anywhere.
That was our concern at the beginning, is we don't want these kids having seat time when they've mastered that class, even in middle school or even in grade school, so forth. We want them to continue to excel.
And with the technology now, It's the time management to do that is much lower. A teacher can really individualize that type of learning through a Google Classroom platform, give them access right away to things that they're ready for that other kids may not be ready for.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Student member Wagner.
So I don't have a question, I just have a comment. I think this is wonderful. I'm a huge advocate for it, because as a senior in high school, this is the biggest year I've ever used technology. And I barely know how my computer works. Like, I struggle with it. And I'm in 2 digital media classes, and I have freshmen helping me with my computer because they had it in middle school. And I'm finally learning how to take my online classes, but I barely know how it works. And when I mix my computer and my teacher, I'm in a computer coding class, and everyone has their own pace because all of us can't go make an app right away. And so we learn on the computer, and we get lesson taught, and I think I'll be prepared for college, and I think this is a good idea, and I think I've learned more than I have throughout like my entire school. And I've never been someone to like, get straight A's, but this year, mixing my technology and mixing teachers, school's become so much easier. And so I think this is such a good idea.
I mean, if you watch a half hour of TV at any given time during the day, you're going to see a higher education institution offering this type of learning, because this is what's going to be expected of our students. You know, they make it look kind of romantic. They're, you know, on the beach doing their homework, or they're, you know, right after a party doing their homework. But the point is that you can do that anywhere you want. And if we can teach those skills now and make a bridge to high school, Mr. Ainsworth is always really deliberate about talking about that transition from middle school to high school and what that looks like. And so that's a really critical piece. And if you put this type of learning in front of students. I mean, we've only been doing this for, 3 months maybe? And kids are on it, and they're learning it. And so it's super exciting for us.
Member Michelson.
This might be a question for Mr. Ainsworth, but we had heard in a meeting earlier this year that there's a fair amount of students that go home every day that don't have any internet access. And how does that impact what they might do at school and or impact that one-on-one that you're talking about up at Sioux Valley?
I think it's even more critical that it gives motivation and purpose to the Rural Enhanced Access Initiative, because a lot of those students in those outlying areas don't have access to the broadband wireless that maybe some of the students in the core have. So what happens, and if you look at the research, unintentionally, and we have to be careful of this, a homework gap can occur, because now we expect students to be at home on a device, finishing work, extending instruction, but if they don't have broadband access, that's not gonna happen. So that's where you see people creative with routers on buses. They have thumb drives, routers that are provided with their devices. I know that at Houston Middle School, one of the things that they've done is they've surveyed their parents and asked them about homework. And so through technology, they've actually been able to minimize some of the homework, because they're able to capitalize on instruction, interventions, and enrichment and acceleration in the building. But I think as we move down this road, we do have to be conscientious of access at home and what that looks like.
I just want to add, our technology team is certainly aware of this and is working on this. It's part of the plan that is being addressed, and specifically looking at take-home devices that are accompanied with like a Kijit or a internet mobile device, so that it would be a hotspot for a home, and those would potentially be checked out by students. And so, this is something that we certainly don't want to create disparity. We're trying to really undo that, so.
And we have, there's a survey up here that we did about homework for our entire community, and it's technology-based, EdConnect, but it gives us a lot of information about how we're going to deal with some of the things that come up and what parents' expectations are for homework. And it was amazing how much insight people gave us. I think we had over 137 responses, and for our community, that's a lot. And they were able to just kind of scroll up on those comments. But there were a lot of worthwhile comments for us to use when we as a staff talk about what homework looks like at Houston Middle School. And the data's right there. I mean, we had that data, within a few days, so that's technology-wise, too.
Member Trimmer.
So I completed my degree with UAS through online education. So through my experience, one of the hardest things for me to get used to, and a lot of the other students, it seemed also, was that we were collaborating across time zones, and maybe even just across town, but we never saw each other and we were collaborating. How much are you incorporating student collaboration into this, your plan?
So you mean face-to-face collaboration or just collaboration in general?
Just collaboration in general with the technology portion of it.
Yeah. It's really amazing just within the last year of the ability to collaborate across platforms, especially web-based, which is really nice. It's a lot smoother transition than program-wise, but web-based is really efficient. But the idea, again, is to look at, for us, is to look at that through a blended model because we want a balance of both of those. Because we have to have people that can collaborate from distance, but we also need people that can collaborate face-to-face. And it's really critical that we don't lose sight of that. And so when we talk about blended learning at Houston Middle School and we talk about Google Classroom, that's a big piece for us. We're really cognizant of a kid just sitting in front of a computer by themselves and staying there. That's not what we want. We encourage that and we watch for that. And we model that. When we do our professional learning communities and staff meetings, we intentionally have teachers go off on their own and do some independent learning, and then when we come back, we do that collaboration piece. And I think we're pretty good about stepping out of that role and being really deliberate about showing what we're doing in those instances so that teachers can do that in their classroom. But yeah, you're right. I mean, you're 100% right. Yeah.
Member Larson.
Well, I'm absolutely positive that you've thought about everything, but let me give you one more question that I would like to get clear in my mind.
Sure.
And I talked to a couple of people when we went down to Kent about this, and this board's been struggling with this, and the state's been struggling with this chronic absenteeism, where mom and dad come in February and take their kids out and go to Hawaii for 2 weeks or so forth. Now, this blended model and technology will be able to capture those kids when they're sitting on the beach, and they will not get away from school, I assume, as well as the kid that for some reason can't get to school.
Yeah.
You know, what's your thoughts on all that?
So my first thought is...
And I'm sorry, one other thing.
Yeah.
Is it an absentee if you know, it's just the same thing as seat time. You're absent because you're not in school. Okay. Now, is it really going to be an absentee in the future if they're actually in the classroom, but they're not in the classroom? You know, instead of just saying, oh, you're absent, sorry, you know. Yeah. Your ideas and thoughts on that.
So I think a couple thoughts on that. One about the absenteeism is that if a student goes on vacation with their family, feedback from us is that's their time, you know, let them be with their family. We think that's important too. But, and here's an example of a Google Classroom right here where a student can have access to this science homework, the PowerPoint presentation, the exit tickets, and all the instruction that goes with that from wherever they are. And so as a teacher and the parent and the student, knowing that beforehand, it's much easier to say, here are the things I want you to cover. It would be nice if the student didn't have a laptop, that they could check it out from the school and take it with them. And then you could, and it's so responsive that the teacher could monitor what that student is doing homework-wise on their break. In terms of seat time and getting the work done, my personal thought on that is if they're absent for valid reasons and they're doing the work and showing that they can master the material, then I think that's a good point of conversation about whether that should be an absent or not.
Just to follow up, because some kids may be sick or they may have to stay at home for one reason or another because of who knows what.
Yeah.
We just mark them, you know, the old grade book, A, absent, yeah. and throw them out and let them fall behind. But
yeah.
if there's an absolute legitimate reason and they're not there, and they're doing the time and they're doing the work and mastering the subject, are they absent? You know,
right.
I think yeah. we need to review that and take a look at the old school absentee type thing.
Yeah, no doubt. That's a bigger conversation.
I want to add. I think that speaks to the power of technology and that before, when a student was sick or they were serving an out-of-school suspension or they were on a family trip, I think the other layer to this is at the high school level, a lot of our students, because of geography, our students miss a lot of Fridays. And so now, if we're able to go to a one-to-one environment where those students have access and they're on a volleyball trip or a baseball trip, they no longer are missing out on all of the instruction. They can work on those assignments and they can study, much like a college athlete would be when they're on a road trip. But I think also, we still want them, that there needs to be some time with the teacher. This is highly effective instruction in the presence of a device, and there's still some things, interactions with teachers that you want to get.
I want to advocate, you can never get rid of the teacher, okay?
Right.
They're solid, and a lot of these are exceptions. I like your idea on the sporting. When I was in school and my kids in school, they struggled. Every time they went on a trip somewhere, they'd have to leave Thursday or Friday. They would struggle, and back in those days, if the teacher didn't like sports, they just simply put absent down. Mm-hmm. You know, and that child fell behind, or come Monday they had to catch up. And we want to encourage our kids to be active in extracurricular sports, theater, all the arts, all the way across the board, and be able to keep up in their schoolwork at the same time.
I think there's enough research out now about how to use technology smart that there are roadmaps for us. You know, 20 years ago when the computers first came out, that's all, they just gave the kids a computer and they might have used it or not. But there's enough research now, you know, 25 years of research behind that to where we can have a good roadmap for the district based on the vision and guidance from Mr. Ainsworth and Superintendent Stone.
And thank you to our student. I really appreciate what you had to say about that. It's good to see that what we're doing is going to help you and going to help your fellow students in the future.
Thank you, Mr. Ainsworth, Mr. Howard, Mr. Ware. This has been a great presentation, and you certainly have provided us with a lot of information, a lot to think about. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you.
You bet.
We'll now have an update from our student advisory board member, Ms. Wagner.
So I apologize for missing the last meeting, but I'm so glad to be back. So since my last meeting, many things have happened, and I hear a lot of things happened here as well. I'd like to update you guys. First, AllSog was a great success, with 510 students attending. This is the biggest AllSog we've had. And thank you all the board members who attended and got to share the experience with us. Palmer High brought a resolution for driver's ed and to get implemented in their school, and AllSog agreed, and it was successfully passed. Matsu Career Tech brought a resolution as well, one for recreational marijuana use, not advocating just for taxing marijuana. It was really well written. It's how to utilize legalization to benefit or tax our community, and it was successfully passed as well. Westlaw High School also brought a resolution for student government to receive cords for graduation and stalls with the senior class officer position written on it, and it was a success as well. So here's an update on what's going on in our district schools. Westlaw High had a mock election last week, teaching students how to register to vote and vote. Teal Middle School at NJHS had a beautification project, cleaning up their schools. They called the gravel company to fill all the gravel, and they pulled weeds and picked up trash. Healthy Future programs are implemented into middle schools. That's online, and middle schoolers record activities they do each day. So it's like exercising and eating healthy, and it's a competition between classes and in middle schools. Colony Middle spread awareness for child cancer with Hat Day. And Birch Tree eighth graders are right now raising money for the DC trip they're about to go on. Sioux Valley had their first volleyball game, and I think this was about a month ago, so I think they had a couple more. And ANSEP is now teaching Athabaskan, and they're extending their school day from 1:50 to 2:30 and getting out. And 23 out of 24 are taking UAA classes in ANSEP. Valley Pathways created school calendars to promote their school positively, so we can give those to the community. and they're raising awareness, they're raising awareness about drugs and bullying, and if more students attend, like 88% of them, the school gets a fun day. Rochelle is wearing blues on Monday for bullying, and they had a 9/11 tribute lunch. And at Student Advisory Board, Thrive Matsu spoke preventing and reducing youth substance abuse, and they would like to start a youth committee, and we're trying to recruit students for that as well. And then our next Student Advisory Board is November 8th at Palmer Juvenile Middle, and we encourage our school board members to come because we love when you attend. That's all.
Thank you. Mr. Stone?
Yeah. So, great report. I think very extensive report there. So, thank you. And so, President Dearman and members of the board, just we're into our third week of the second quarter, so we're just about halfway done with the school year when you think about it. Some activities to note here. We had a great middle school ANSEP recruitment day today, and we had about 215 kids, I believe, and so it's by far our largest recruitment day that we've had. You know, it really is just great evidence of how well received that program is, how excited the kids know what it is too when they come, and so was just great kids really did such a nice job, conduct themselves well, and so the great part was that we had that level of interest. The sad part is that we only have 54 slots, and so you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, how do we, you know, figure this out so that we can, you know, expand it. And so, you know, ANSEP's been under some of the same challenges, obviously, as the rest of the state with fiscal challenges, but definitely something for us to think about. Wasilla High School is hosting the Northern Lights Volleyball Tournament this week, and so all of three large Valley schools, Palmer Colony, Wasilla, are participating in that tournament. On Friday, November 4th, KBMQ 99.7 will be broadcasting live from the drop-in center at my house in Wasilla for the listener-supported marathon. And I'll be taking calls from 3 to 4 p.m. I'll be manning that phone. The number to call in Friday is 373-4357. We're excited to support this fundraising effort. As my house is doing lots of great things to support teen homelessness with things like shelter, jobs, job training, counseling services, and substance abuse counseling and intervention services. On November 4th and 5th is the Lion King Junior production. So these are the final 2 days of that. On the 4th, on the Friday, I'll be attending that one. There's actually two performances on the 5th, and this is hosted by Colony Middle School. Toby Lambert, the music teacher there, and he every year puts together a production, and you know, he starts working as soon as he finishes this one for the following year. So he, you'll see that guy there 7 days a week, and so if folks get a chance, definitely attend. They're always really a great production. Amazes you the level of performances that can be provided by these young kids. And also Finger Lakes students are participating in that as well. And so, you know, we're starting them early. And we've Matsu Career and Technical will be getting an early start on high school tours this year for students and parents for the 17 and 18 school year. So beginning on November 3rd at 8:30 a.m. and then on November 4th at 8:45 a.m. and then November 7th, 8th, and 9th at 9 a.m. and then the last tour day is November 14th at 9 a.m. So we used to wait till the spring to get those rolling. Find that we're just a lot better prepared for this whole process when we started early, and so Mr. Okeson and Mr. DePriest have done a really nice job in helping facilitate that and really being providing a better communication for the community group that wants to access that program. United Way of Mat-Su is sponsoring a Warm Coats, Warm Hearts Drive through November 20th. You know, what they're looking for is hats, gloves, snow pants, and other winter gear that can be dropped off at United Way in Palmer or at any MEA location, November 14th through the 18th. And November 11th is Veterans Day. There will be no school that day. And several schools around the district will be hosting a veterans conference on November 10th to celebrate and honor our veterans. And November 16th and November 22nd, Mat Valley Federal Credit Union will be putting on their financial reality fair. So those will be taking place at Palmer High School and at Houston High School. Burchell has already hosted one. And this is the fifth one that has been put on by Mat Valley. And these are really great opportunities for kids to really be exposed to some of the real financial lessons of life. And it's really been a nice partnership. So look forward to those. And if Helen Minos was here, I would invite her. So I missed her today. So anyway, definitely going to give her a call. And then, you know, again, just for the community here, just also I want to thank Principal Pridgen and also Assistant Principal Mr. Porticello for hosting this and for putting this on, for the entertainment tonight, and really, you know, lovely kids and a nice performance. And that takes us next to our budget report, part of my report. And if I could have Assistant Superintendent Fulp go ahead and share some slides. You know, most of these slides will roll through pretty quickly, the historic enrollment. I think folks are all familiar with that. It really just shows that over the 10 years, we've grown 2,619 students. Again, we started off with a projection of 18,819 kids. Go ahead, Mr. Fulp. So you can see we've completed our task of count. And that takes us to our actual, when we compare our actual projected enrollment, 18,819. As of today, we're at 18,823.74. And I was asking Mr. Fulp, hey, now where'd that 0.74 come? So, you know, and he did a good job of explaining that to me, and I know I've heard this before, I hear it every year, but it comes in part because of the fractional accounting of students as they come and go in that accounting period and maybe move to another district, and so we end up with some odd numbers sometimes like that. But you can see that we were basically just right on. So in completing the student count, like I said, we were at 18,823 students. Both of the FY17 student ADM and then the FY18 student enrollment projection numbers, those are due to the state on November 5th. And so Mat-Su Borough School District Administration will have both our FY17 ADM and our FY18 projection ready for submission on Friday. And so we finalize that report, where we believe our ADM will land with a margin of error of plus or minus 5 to 10 students. And also adding on to that, our intensive count is at 482 students. 25 students is above the FY17 projection. And the final intensive count, though, must meet compliance and audit specifications prior to the finalizing this number, and then of course the funding that comes with those students who qualify. That concludes my report.
Thank you. We'll now have a bond update, Mr. Walden.
Good evening, President Dearman, Mr. Stone, school board members. Jeff Walden here, Mat-Su Borough, for your bond update. thought I'd do something a little bit different tonight. Since we're wrapping up roughly $300 million worth of projects, I realized tonight's briefing is going to be very short. So what I thought I would do is do a recap of the 2010 bond and the 2011 bond. And the purpose of doing that is to put everything we've done over the last 5 years into one presentation. Might be a useful tool for you to use. Members of the public ask, what did I get for my vote? You have one presentation you refer to and it might help you. So we'll start with the 2010 school district fire alarms. The voters approved 10 schools. We were able to do a total of 16. Roof replacements, voters approved a total of 7 schools. And to date, we've done 18. I think we might be able to squeeze one more out of that bond. ADA parking, we've improved parking, ADA access at Pioneer Peak, Big Lake, and Snowshoe. School flooring replacements include a new gym flooring at 14 elementary schools and over 1 million square feet of carpet. Transitioning into the 2011 bond, Diderot Elementary School opened August 2016. Denina Elementary opened August 2016. Reddington opened August of 2015. Career Tech Edition opened August 2015. Valley Pathways, August of 2014. Matsu Day School, August of 2014. I'm going through these quickly. I don't want to take up too much of your time. There's a lot of work done in the last 5 years. So at the end, I'll be happy to take any questions. Big Lake Elementary renovation, renovated original classrooms, corridors, reception area, improved ADA access in the restrooms. District-wide ADA upgrades included improvements to parking lots, restrooms, doorways, and signage. Restroom renovations included Pioneer Peak, Butte, Cottonwood Creek, Snowshoe, Wasilla Middle, and Palmer High. Athletic field improvements included numerous upgrades throughout the district. The largest and most visible are the two turf infields adjacent to Wasilla High School. Backup generators and switch gears were complete at Wasilla Middle, Big Lake Elementary, Butte, Snowshoe, Willow, and the O&M building. The only two remaining are Wasilla High School and Palmer High School, and those will get installed this summer. As a matter of fact, we're going to place the generator at Palmer High, hopefully this week, and then we'll connect it next summer when school's out. School district energy upgrades, completed LED lighting, multiple gymnasiums. Partial window replacements will include Palmer Junior, Wasilla High, Houston Middle, and Wasilla Middle. Those are in priority order. We're hoping to get to all of those locations. It'll depend on the abatement cost of that project, and that project will happen this summer. Fire alarm replacements, replace the systems at Glacier View, Swanson, and Wasilla Middle. District-wide flooring replacements. This is in addition to the flooring money that was in the 2010 bond, which was approved in the 2011. We included flooring at Finger Lake, Goose Bay, Larson, Meadow Lakes, Trapper Creek, Wasilla Middle, and Rochelle. And I believe Meadow Lakes is gym floor you're seeing right here. District-wide HVAC upgrades. This includes controls conversions from pneumatic to digital. That portion of this project will continue in 2017, possibly in 2018. We also installed new boilers at Willow Elementary and Palmer Junior. Replaced lockers at Houston Middle and Palmer Junior. Houston High School exterior siding was replaced to the bottom 14 feet. Palmer High School HVAC upgrades. Replaced boiler lines, pumps, controls, and domestic water lines. And lastly, the athletic field improvements, which included turf, bleachers, lighting, tracks, and ADA upgrades at Houston, Wasilla, Palmer, and Colony High Schools. And that was a quick overview of the 2010-11 bonds. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to take them.
Member Rutherford?
Just a quick question about the bond that was just passed and the fact that pools were in that, and of course we're closely tied to the pools. Will the, will the school district play any role in that project? Do you know yet?
Absolutely. I've already met with the community development director who put that bond together, and the school will definitely be a player in basically all the projects that I'll be involved in, which will be the Brett Memorial Ice Rinks, the ice rinks at Talkeetna, Willow, and along with the pools.
That was my same question, because our kids use all those and they're attached to the schools. I'm looking forward to that upgrade, because it, how many years has it been since they've been worked on, like the pools? Been forever, hasn't it?
Member Larson, over the years, we've done some small projects, piecemealing, fixing things here and there, but never a total renovation, which is what's required at this point.
Member Walton?
So I know that our bond money can't be used for things off-site, and we had a question a few weeks ago about the Reddington lighting, and there was talk about putting some poles on the edges of the school areas and stuff like that with some bond money, or am I mistaken?
As far as I know, there has been talk of lighting, but that's as far as it's went. We haven't change ordered anything into the contract to add additional lighting. I know Public Works is involved. What they're going to do, I don't know, but I can find out.
I have a quick question. I think you just answered it, but I'm not sure I heard you correctly. Will the same entity be working on the hockey rink at Willow Elementary as will be at Talkeetna Elementary?
That is to be determined, but the size of those projects being what they are, I think it would make sense to combine those two.
Okay, thank you. Yep. Thank you, Mr. Walden.
Thank you.
Could I please have someone move the consent agenda?
I move the consent agenda, which consists of the minutes of October 19th, 2016.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded. We will now take a 10-minute break. I'm sorry, I erred. Do we have any objection to moving the consent agenda? Thank you. We're now taking a 10-minute break. Calling this meeting back to order. If I could have someone move action item A, Alaska Middle College transition.
I move action item A, Alaska Middle College transition.
Second.
Do we have an administrative report?
President Dearman, members of the board, we had a report 2 weeks ago. We had Director Talis Kohlberg from Mat Su College, and he presented in the positive for this move, and as administration, it's something that we support from a fiscal standpoint, as well as just for the really to the benefit of this community and to the students.
Is there anyone in the audience who would like to make comment on this? Is there anyone on the board? Do we need any board discussion on this? Member Rutherford?
I just wanted to make a comment about the Student Advisory Board had mentioned a resolution to bring driver's ed back, which I know can be pretty costly for a district, but when I was in this district, it was actually the college that offered it, and students were referred over there to do it, so it was just food for thought. Maybe we can partner with the college on driver's ed.
Okay, seeing none, then we will vote. And it looks like we are transitioning the Alaska Middle College, with all members voting yes. Okay, can we move action item B, resolution 17-001, Midnight Sun Family Learning Center land acquisition?
I'll move item B, resolution 17-001, Midnight Sun Family Learning Center and acquisition, land acquisition.
Second.
Is there anyone from the audience who would like to make public comment? Is there any administrative report? I know we had one last meeting.
No report. Administration available for questions if there are any. Okay.
Is there any board discussion? Okay, then we'll take a vote. And that one passes as well. Can we move action item C?
I move action item C, second reading, board policy 3312, contracts.
Second.
Would anyone like from the audience like to make public comment on that one? Is there an administrative report?
Again, report was made 2 weeks ago. However, if there are any questions, administration is available for questions.
All right, will the board vote now, please? Discussion by the board, I'm sorry. Seeing none, we'll vote. And that one passes also, with all members voting yes. Okay, we will now move action item D.
I move action item D, school board committee assignments.
Second.
Okay, I have the board committees here. I'm going to go down the list. I'm going to start with the Joint Borough Assembly District School Board Committee on School Issues. Currently, the members on that are Member Trimmer and Member Rutherford. Member Trimmer has communicated to me that he would like to step down, and Member Welton has communicated that she would like to be named to that board. Committee. Does the board agree with that? Is that okay? We do have to submit these names to Mayor Vern Halter for his approval. Is that agreeable with this board, and we will send those names up? Yes? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, then at the end, we will take a vote on these. So we are removing from this committee, Member Trimmer, and replacing Member Trimmer with Member Welton, okay? All right, the next committee is the Borough Area School Site Selection Committee. The current members are Members Rutherford and Members Michelson, with the alternate being Member Welton. Does anyone want to change there? Do any of the three want to step down? Or is that committee good as it is now? Yes? Okay, all right. We're moving on. The Construction Trades Committee, I am asking to be removed as a primary on that. Member Trimmer wants to be removed as an alternate, so if it is good with everyone, I will move Mr. Trimmer up. Now, do we need to replace that alternate? We do have Member Rutherford as an alternate already. Do we need two alternates there?
I would accept the position as alternate if we want another one.
Okay, if we need another alternate, that's fine. Go ahead and put Mr. Michelson there. Member Michelson?
Question.
Yes.
For our new member, is there any information that would help her decide whether she wants to be on that one or not? or any of the other boards, any of the other committees?
Well, we can discuss them. The purpose is there on each of them, and we can discuss them with her if there.
The purpose is to educate, but what does the committee actually do?
On this one, on construction trades?
Yeah.
Well, I was on that committee for 3 years, and we were all on that for 3 years, right? And we did do something this one time.
One time?
Yes,
okay.
We did sell
to let you know.
So do we need another primary on it?
Yeah, pardon me?
Do we need another primary on it?
Another primary, probably.
We have an interim, a need for a primary.
May I ask for assistance from Mr. DePriest on this, please? Is that all right? Mr. DePriest? As far as this goes on the primary, do we need three people there? We do.
Yes,
okay.
Please. Three.
All right. So, and still two alternates?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So it would be in our best interest then to assign another primary on this, even though we had, okay. So, Member Ruth, if you would like to be named as a primary on that?
Yes.
We can do that? Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. DePriest. Okay, then let's, Member Ruth, we will put you there. Okay, so it will be, the primaries will be Members Tremmer, Members Larson, and Ruth, with alternates Rutherford and Michelson. Moving down to the Mat-Su Central School Committee, I would like to remain on that. Mr. Michelson, do you want to remain as well?
Yes.
Okay. Then that one is good, seeing no comments there. School Board Policy, we have Michelson and Larson.
I'd like to be removed from this one. I've got some other duties and things that I need to take care of another board.
Okay. Mr. Michelson is asking to step down from this committee. Do we have any other members? Member Ruth?
Yeah, I'd like to be on this committee.
Okay, so Member Ruth would like to be named to the Committee on School Board Policy with Mr. Larson. Okay, so Ruth and Larson, all right. Board Orientation Committee, Rutherford and Larson. Are we?
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up? Okay, good. And then?
Job's over for a while.
My job's up. Yeah, their job is quiet for a while. And then our Legislative Committee, that is Members Welton, Larson, and the alternate is Tremmer. Are we good? Okay, then if someone could please, I'm going to read through real quickly. The Joint Borough Assembly School District Board Committee on School Issues is Welton and Rutherford. Borough Area School Sites is Rutherford Michelson with alternate Welton. Construction Trades, Larson, Tremmer, Ruth, alternates Rutherford and Michelson. Mat-Su Central School, Dearman and Michelson. School Board Policy, Ruth and Larson. Board Orientation Committee, Rutherford and Larson, and Legislative Committee, Welton Larson with alternate Tremmer. Could I please have a motion and have it seconded on this committee with these changes going forward?
I move that these changes go forward.
I'll second that.
Discussion? None? Okay. The school board, we need to take a vote on this. I'm sorry. I'm still not getting a vote. I don't know what's wrong with this. Connection to the server may have been lost. Please check your network connection. I need it. Yeah, go ahead. Yes. Okay, we have all voted yes on that, and so the committees have been reestablished. I wish my connection was. Okay, could we please move action item E?
I move action item. Action item E, which is the calendar for the meetings for school board FY17.
Second.
Okay, is there any public comment on this? Changing. All right, or do we have an administrative report?
No administrative report. We had canceled a January meeting. This is to review December 21st, and so that would promote discussion for the board.
Thank you. All right, board discussion. So what we're looking at here is we had at one time, my understanding and recollection is that we had canceled the December 21st meeting, but we put it back on the schedule thinking that we may need it. And so now the discussion is, do we cancel it? Member Larson.
Last year we left it on there until we came into December, and we needed it for a couple of small items, and the meeting was short. Traditionally, though, we don't utilize that. My feeling is to leave it on there, and at our December 7th meeting, then we can decide if we want to scratch it or not. And just to leave it on there just in case we do. I don't remember why we needed it so bad last year, but it was some reason we had to vote on something. We didn't do it last year, or was it 2 years ago?
Member Rutherford.
I agree with Member Larson as far as leaving December 21st for now, because it's a pretty long gap if we cancel that and January 4th until January 18th. But I also wanted to just make two requests. I hope that when we reschedule the joint meeting that's always scheduled for spring break, I'd like it to be the week before. So that would put it the March 6th, I think, just to not have it the same, not have two meetings in a row. If it's the week after spring break, then we have meet with them on Tuesday and we meet Wednesday, which is hard.
Yeah, we've often canceled that joint meeting during the spring
break. Don't we usually move it? Because I think it's in, I think it's an ordinance that we have to have it every quarter.
Yeah, the mayor can cancel it. Also, if I remember right, last year, I don't believe that we ended up having it in March.
We did it the third week of March.
Did we do it? Yeah,
we
okay. It was after spring break then. But we didn't have it early.
Which is doable. It would just be nice to not have the two right in a row like that, which I think happened last year.
Yeah.
And then lastly, just a request that we, maybe not tonight, but that we think very soon about our board retreat and establish a date, just because the sooner we set that, the sooner we can make plans. And sometimes we cancel that June 21st meeting, and so maybe we could replace it with a two-day retreat around the same time.
So we have decided we're going, oh, I'm sorry. Member Welton.
We also usually in December include in our schedule a time to meet with the legislators. Has that been
right? We're getting to that.
Okay.
We're getting to that. So
okay.
We are going. Member Michelson.
Maybe it's the next year's calendar, but if we are going to have a discussion about when to have a retreat, I would advocate for having it in August like we did this calendar year. But that's not part of this particular calendar, but when it comes time to setting something like that, we should consider doing a repeat of what we did this year.
A July, you mean? Or late July?
Late July.
Yeah. Can I make a comment on that?
Certainly.
I think one of the things that we found that we did appreciate initially, we were concerned about moving it to that late. I think what our group found is that we were actually better prepared for a better retreat with so many things rushing all the way through and then June coming. I think but at that point, I think everybody's pretty spent, and then you kind of throw something together. I think that we were able to actually put together a lot more thoughtful retreat. And I just thought we were better prepared for this past one. But that's, and that sentiment seemed to be shared by the administrative team too. So just food for thought. Thanks, Member Michelson.
The joys and woes of technology. At any rate, yes, and I think that those are all good suggestions that have been made, and we will put those on another meeting date, and we will address those then. Right now, I believe we have decided that we are going to leave December 21st on the calendar in case we need that meeting. Is that what we have agreed upon? Member Ruth.
I will not be here for that meeting.
Thank you. You're looking at me with like deer in the headlights, so that's yes. So now what we are going to do is we are going to decide, do we want to have a dinner for our legislative delegation? And if so, what date are we looking at in December? Do we have any suggestions, ideas? We have a joint borough meeting on the 13th of December. What do you have a suggestion?
I know that that's a busy week, but possibly that first week, somewhere between
the 5th or 6th?
The 5th or 6th.
My wife's having knee surgery on the 4th.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes. Member Michelson, please suggest away.
I suggest that Stacy send out a doodle poll, and by the end of the week, we commit to getting it back to her on some dates in December.
I agree with you, but we will not go past the 8th of December because that just puts us into too late for the legislators. I think that we need to stay within that time frame, no later than the 8th of December. Do we agree?
That'd be fine. How early? Yeah. How early is too early?
Yeah. How early is too early? Between the 1st and the 8th.
Okay, so no November dates would be considered?
That's too early, I think, for them. Well, we've got a school board meeting. So we are going to have one. We just need to find the appropriate date, and so Stacy will help us do that. So thank you, Mr. Michelson, for expediting that. Do we need to take a vote on this now? Because we're keeping the 21st.
Think we can go ahead and vote on the schedule, and we'll sneak that in to the schedule as an addition.
All right, we'll go ahead then, and thank you, Mr. Larson. We'll go ahead and vote on keeping the schedule, maintaining the 21st, and we'll decide if we're going to cancel that date later, and then we will figure out a date for the legislative dinner with Mrs. Escobedo's help. So we'll go ahead and vote now. Thank you.
No. I'm connected.
Are you connected?
I'm connecting now.
He's connected. I'm trying to connect. Can you connect now? What's your name?
Okay.
That was unanimous. And now we are moving on to non-action items. This is the first reading of Board Policy 3520, Service Animals. Do we have an administrative report on this?
President Dearman, have a report on this. This policy change was prompted. People recall our EEO officer, Mr. Matt Tieford, brought this to our attention several years ago. And so really it came about because of a notification through Disability Law Center. And that was several years ago. And it really challenged the policy in that a condition of having a service animal was demonstrating proof of insurance. We looked for and asked if there was any legal precedent for this, and having found none, we proceeded to keep the policy intact, thinking at some point there would be a precedent. And then we just worked with people on an individual basis as they came up. Recently, Disability Law Center contacted Mr. Tiefer again and then demonstrated a recent legal precedent for this. And, given that, I think we just kind of saw the writing on the wall, and we think it's really in the best interest of the district is really follow the precedent and strike some of that language that requires proof of insurance as a condition of having a service animal. And so, following that recommendation, we've moved this policy forward. So I can answer any other questions, but it's pretty straightforward. It seems that it shouldn't even really go to committee, and that we should be timely with this.
Member Larson.
How many service dogs do we have, or people with service dogs, both staff and students? All right, and support, or do we have more of it, parents coming in with service dogs?
Mr. Fulp might be able to answer that. I can't answer that offhand. We can certainly get that information. No, it's not many.
Thank you, Superintendent Stone. I'm sorry I cannot answer that question tonight. I don't have that data with me. However, the only thing that's being proposed in terms of a revision to the board policy is that requirement for that proof of insurance. I don't know if Director of Student Support Services, Lucy Hope, might have more information on it. We don't have that tonight, I guess. Okay.
This is for students only? Or would this apply to staff as well and support personnel? It would apply across the board, correct? Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions? Member Larson.
Just to make sure that any outside visitor or parents that have a service dog, this has nothing, will have nothing to do with them whatsoever. They can bring that service dog in with no problem at all into the school.
I'm going to defer to that one to Assistant Superintendent Fulp, but it would be my understanding that they would be able to, but maybe Mr. Fulp can answer that.
I think for existing service animals, this would not have any impact to what we've already set up in terms of those service animals being with either the staff or accompanying either the staff or child. What this pertains to is if we have a new request to bring a service animal in, the district would not have within their board policy a requirement for proof of liability insurance that the parent or staff member would have to maintain. That's what the legal precedent has stated, the federal court case had stated. That we, the entity, the school district, cannot require that whether as a determining factor as to whether or not to allow the service animal. So if anything, this relaxes our standard and allows for more service animals to accompany staff or students without that additional requirement of proof of legal insurance, or liability insurance before that service animal accompanies them in the school building.
Member Michelson.
I've got kind of an unrelated question to the insurance coverage, but is there like an industry standard in the disability world for the number of species of animals that can get certified to be qualified under a definition of a service animal? I note here that you mentioned dogs and miniature horses and the veterinary proof of the shots and things like that. Are those like the only two species that are allowed by some standard to be certified as?
That's my understanding, yes.
Member Larson.
Just to make sure I'm clear on this, anybody that not a student, not a support staff, not a district employee, a parent or somebody visiting are not restricted whatsoever or bringing a service dog in for any reason whatsoever? I mean, they can bring that service dog in. The only reason I'm asking is there's a pretty massive lawsuit going on now where a lady was restricted from going on American Airlines, and because they wanted, they ridiculed her, they wanted proof that she had a disability and that was a service dog. And we, as a school district, will allow, I assume will allow anybody in our buildings that has a certified service dog at any time. Is that correct?
Or
we'll put it this way, you can research that and get back with us on board.
Yeah, so to the chair, I think, you know, we were really prepared to speak to what the change in policy was going to be, and not to necessarily all the different scenarios that were involved with the policy, but if you want to bring some of those to our attention, we can prepare more information for a board connect.
I would like that question answered because I was reading that suit. It's a pretty lengthy suit, and why the airlines decided to restrict that woman and her dog, and now that will set a major precedence. And all I was thinking about when this policy came up about the same time, I'm thinking, we don't restrict anything like that. And so in Board Connect, something like that would be fine. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to move on then to non-action item B, fiscal year 2017 legislative priorities. Do we have an administrative report there, please?
Yeah, President Dearman, members of the board. Included in your reading materials also through Board Connect, the FY 2017 legislative priorities were provided. And so what administration, and similar to what we've done last year, is ask that the board review each of those and any comments or suggestions for that prior to our approval of the legislative priorities be submitted to us, then we can respond to those in the next meeting prior to approval. And of course, they would be shared at the future legislative dinner.
Is there any member of the audience that would like to make any comment on legislative priorities? Please come forward.
Good evening, board members. My name is Tim Walters. I'm president of the Mat-Su Education Association. I had to try the microphone to see if I could get the cool robot voice that Mr. Fulp did. I do have some concerns with the legislative agenda. As I've spoken to you before, one of my big concerns is the future of our profession, attracting teachers to the profession and retaining people. And as I've said in past years, some of our legislative items that are proposed aren't kind to the profession. They don't help attract teachers to the profession. They don't, I'm not gonna say they're not gonna help retain people, but they don't make the profession more attractive. I often speak about when I retire, I want 10 or 15 people lined up, really well-qualified people vying for my job. I want the principal to pick the very best person, and that's what's best for kids. That's something we struggle with right now. We struggle to find those 10 or 15 people, and some of the legislative items here aren't gonna help with that at all. And I would like, in the coming weeks, time to speak with you, to have a dialogue with you, not 3 minutes of me testifying, but to speak with you, the members of the board, the ones that will be making a decision on whether to approve this or not, not the administration. I represent the teachers, the people that work in the classrooms, and this legislative material right here that's being proposed is coming to you from administrators, and I don't mean this as a dig, but it's true. They don't work with kids in the classroom. And I speak for those people that are working with kids in the classroom every day, and I would like to talk to you about some of this stuff. So you'll be hearing from me, I'll give you my phone number, and I would love to sit down and talk with you about some of these proposed legislative items. Thank you.
Moving on to future items, future business, upcoming meetings, November 10th through 13th, we have the 2016 AASB Annual Conference at the Anchorage Hilton Hotel. And then November 16th, we have our regular school board meeting at the central office. December 7th, at 5 p.m., we have our special recognitions, and at 6 p.m., the regular school board meeting at the central office. And on December 13th, at 6 p.m., the Joint Assembly Board meeting at the Mat-Su. I thought so. It is at the Assembly Chambers, not at Central Office. So that's on December 13th, the Joint Assembly School Board meeting at the Assembly Chambers. Now we will move on to persons to be heard on non-agenda items. Is there anyone who would like to? Madam Clerk, would you like to remind us of our duties?
Just a reminder to speak your name, to limit your time, to not make it personal, and to be nice.
Is there anyone who would like to come forward? Seeing none, moving on to correspondence and board committee reports. Has anyone had any correspondence or have any committees met that anyone would like to report on? I did have some correspondence that I will pass on to Ms. Escobedo, and she will put this in Board Connect, but I had a lovely letter sent to me by someone commenting on Fronteras K through 8 Spanish Immersion Charter School, and I thought it would be a lovely letter to share with you. So that will be in Board Connect for you to read. And now moving on to our comments from administration, Mr. Stone.
Just, grateful to the community of Meadow Lakes and to administration at Meadow Lakes. Thanks for hosting tonight. And Also, thanks for our tech folks out there for, you know, just, you know, hitting the curves as they came. So, thanks. Actually, got Assistant Superintendent Fulp. Do you have any comments?
Thank you, Superintendent Stone. One update that we wanted to make mention of during the meeting tonight was that we will be holding a benefits fair. You're invited to join us for the first annual Matsuburo School District Benefits Fair on Saturday, November 12th from 9 to 3 p.m. at the central office. This is an opportunity for employees to hear about benefit options available to themselves and learn about financial health, retirement planning, and personal wellness. And specifically with regards to our IT staff, I just want to make mention of those guys again, as Superintendent Stone did, Rich Erickson, Chris Motz, Daniel Hardage, and Brian McBride. They did a great job tonight. One of the things that I wanted to point out was that we had network upgrades here in the school today, which caused interference of the mics. And so they had to troubleshoot that, knowing that there was a wireless AP access point behind the stage. They disconnected that, and it allowed our mics to work. But it led to connectivity issues for the staff. So there's lots of new technology being introduced into our schools, and I think it's indicative of the highly skilled staff that we have. Within half hour, they were able to troubleshoot it on the spot. It's difficult, it's uncomfortable, but they're doing that in our schools every day, and I just want to extend that appreciation to them. Thanks, guys.
Ms. Wagner?
Okay, so I just wanted to thank the tech guys, because that's pretty cool. Sorry, there's something in my throat. And no one mentioned these paintings. I think they're so cute and so wonderful, and I think they're really sweet. And I have nobody to say thank you to, because none of the kids are here, but I like them. Anyway, we have a student advisory board meeting November 8th at Palmer Junior Middle School, so I really encourage all our board members to attend. I think this will be pretty like hefty meeting of what we're talking about. We want to talk about the presidential election, and we want to teach the kids how to vote and how to register, and we're going to kind of do a Kahoot and a quiz about what we know about our presidential election. So I think that'll be interesting, so I hope to see you guys there.
Member Ruth.
I just want to say I'm pretty excited about the blended learning program coming through. I know that my daughter's a senior this year, and she's been a student athlete all 4 years, all year long, and it would have been a huge benefit or help for her. So I'm excited to see that coming along. And also this weekend is the 3A volleyball tournament being hosted at Houston High School. So, and thank you to IT and everybody here.
Member Walton.
Thank you. I would like to thank Meadow Lakes community for hosting. I really enjoy the music and the signing with the Alaska flag song. That's great. Appreciate the parents that put the time in to come out too. Thanks to the tech guys, since everybody is thanking them, I appreciate them also. Lord knows, I'm the oldest one here on the board, and I'm the probably least technologically able, and I appreciate everybody who can help me with stuff. Yeah. I went to graduations at Brochelle, and also the Brochelle graduations were included in a Red Ribbon Week presentation, so there was a skit and information about addictions and substance abuse and avoiding those particular things. Also went to PACE, and there was a special graduation there. That's the first graduation that's ever occurred. I went to the Supreme Court presentation at Colony High School. It was excellent, and it really meant a lot to the students, I think, to see the Supreme Court of our state working to solve issues, and the decorum and the way the court works was very, it was presented in a way that the students, I think, were in a little awe of how that all works. Let's see, I went to the presentation on the wounded student and learned more about the connections we make and relationships. And as a counselor in the community, I know that the relationship issues are so important to working with our kids who are at risk. Thank you so much again. This was a great meeting. Thanks.
Member Trimmer.
So I also really liked the paintings that were here. That was really neat to have those sitting here when we got here. Thanks to Meadow Lakes for hosting us, and thank you to the choir. That was an excellent presentation. And in the last 2 weeks, let's see, went to a football banquet at Wasilla and got to see the kids be recognized for their efforts this year. They did a good job, and a team going through change, so that was really a neat deal. And managed to make it to a play at Palmer, and I know there's going to be more coming up as the season rolls on, so I encourage you to try to get to one of those if you can. And parent-teacher conferences. One of the big things at parent-teacher conferences that one of the teachers said was, iParent for me will be up to date. And I said, you don't know how glad I am to hear that, because every year at our retreat, that comes up as one of the things that a lot of parents use iParent, and if the grades aren't up to date, then some kids actually get in trouble for something that might be turned in. So we've tried to figure out how to get that program to be used as much as possible. So I was glad to hear that. That's it. Thanks.
Member Larson.
Thank you. Thank you to for hosting us, Principal Bergen and your AP. Purcello, right? Pacello. Okay, I was close. Okay, thank you very much. I really enjoyed the setting, and I did enjoy the art very much, and the host. It's always nice to come to a different school, and to see, just to see the stuff that you have on your walls and the activity that goes on in your elementary school. I know the kids are probably doing excellent here. Keep up the good work. I look forward to the middle college coming out here that we voted on, and I look forward to the updates of not only it coming out here, but what's going to happen to the middle college in Eagle River. I've already expressed my feelings of that, and hopefully that'll all be worked out. I'm sure it will be. I visited various schools and a lot of activities, from choir to band. One example is Morrison Elementary had the African drum music, and it was virtually all with the drums and the choir, and it was just you know, because we have traveling drums, and some schools have their own, and to find out the history of that and how they came into our school is very very nice, and just to see those kids utilize it and the choir sing along with it. Those are the kind of activities I've been to, and thank you. I look forward to more. Thank you.
Mr. Michelson.
I'd like to start off by thanking Nova and Gage for the fine art that will be adorned on my office walls tomorrow morning. So I really do appreciate that and your hospitality here at Meadow Lakes. I polled about a half a dozen parents that I knew that had taken their kids to their own parent-teacher conferences. And that always seems to be a point of contention. Always, you know, it's too late, it's too early, it's not long enough, it's too long. You know, but I got just no complaints at all. And people were really, really pleased with the individual considerations that principals took at their schools to accommodate parents and their schedules and parents with multiple kids in the school. And the the degree and the time that those teachers took with kids that were having a lot of problems and the kids that were doing very well seemed to kind of even out in the very small sampling that I had the opportunity to take. So I was really pleased to hear that. I tried to keep up this fall with the progress of our tennis teams, because I know that we had kind of adopted tennis a year ago, and to some degree, ASAA accommodated that effort. And I should have mentioned earlier, I would like to see in a board connect kind of the status of tennis. How many more kids do we have this year than we had last year? I think that we had two or three kids that may have gone to a state tournament from the Valley, and I think that we should recognize that if that's the case. But I'd like to get an update on that. The other thing I'm interested in that I also should have brought it up earlier was the progress of the Department of Education in choosing the new assessment tool that we're going to be using here fairly soon. And I know that we have district staff who are involved in that effort on a subcommittee level, and it would be good to get a kind of an update as to how that's going. That's potentially in a board connect or maybe a report out next meeting. And that is it for me. Thank you.
Member Rutherford.
Thank you to the Meadow Lake School and community for hosting us. And I believe that Kaylin somehow intuitively knew my favorite color was purple. It's perfect. And thank you to the tech folks as well, that not only on site, but that presentation was great and will really help me talk to parents who've been asking. I had a quick question that maybe someone can confirm later in a board connect about technology. All of us know who are employees that we regularly get emails saying this or that outage will happen because of maintenance or something going on. And we were curious at our house because one night my son couldn't get onto the site he needed for, and who knows, it could be a million different reasons why, for his homework. And some of those sites, I think, somehow go through the school district because you have to actually use your student sign on and then at MSBSD and it's to get to it. And I think the portal somehow is through us, but I'm not positive. And I'm just wondering if going forward with this technology, being mindful of outages, whether they're our own or another one, when we have homework that requires technology. The parent-teacher conferences, technology was brought up. They went really well. I really appreciate the schools that had those evening hours this year to accommodate parents. And technology was mentioned by parents and teachers, asking how Google Classroom is working for you and that sort of thing. It was a good discussion. And I just want to say I really appreciate the district moving forward with our technology plan despite funding challenges, because I noticed that what I gathered from some of the teachers was that they were concerned that the whole technology movement was going to come to a screeching halt because of funding challenges. And I think that this is proving that it won't, that we'll find ways to go forward because we have to. We really don't have a choice. I also want to say thank you to whoever arranged the Supreme Court event. I wasn't able to attend, but I did have a couple of parents who are attorneys just let me know how much they appreciated it. They took time out to go attend and said that they were just so impressed by the students' questions and et cetera. Palmer High School Alter Ego's play was great as usual. Kudos to Stan Harris again. Palmer Junior Middle School is one of those schools having a Veterans Day concert the evening of the 10th, if anyone is free to go. And then last but not least, I also attended that PACE graduation, which I tell you was truly the highlight of my month. The just the joy of the students, the the positive atmosphere at that event, credit completion ceremony, they called it, but it was just very moving. And I wanted to share that a grandparent who was there sent us, a few of us, an email afterwards. Even though she spoke to us at the event, she just wanted to take just one more opportunity to thank each of you, your support of this great PACE program and your presence at the student ceremony meant more than you'll ever know. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for not giving up on our kids and believing they are worth another try and worth believing in. You changed the life of at least one student, and that student means the world to me. I just thought that was a great reminder that every student means the world to someone.
Principal Pridgen, Assistant Principal Porcello, thank you. Every time I come in this school, your hospitality never ceases to amaze and overwhelm me, so thank you. It was a pleasure to be here this evening. The children were fantastic. Their art, their singing, it's a great way to start a meeting, and so thank you very, very much. I was very, very impressed with the technology presentation this evening for several reasons. The book Blended that many of us have read and that Mr. Ainsworth was over the moon about, it was a wonderful read. And I have to say that a lot of times in education, you pick up a book and you read it, and in your mind you say, wow, that would be so great if we could do that. Well, guess what? We are doing it. And that presentation tonight by Mr. Howard, Mr. Ware, and Mr. Ainsworth just proves that no matter what's going on, financially, economically, or what hurdles that they're throwing at the MATSU, we're still going forward and we're doing what we said we were going to do for our kids, for our employees. We're going to make it good, and we're proving that that blended learning model can work here. And it's working. I thought the greatest comment that you made, Mr. Ainsworth, is we're moving out in. And that, for me, being the out person, that means a lot, that we're moving from the out in, not seeing things move from the core to the outlying areas. So thank you very, very much for that. It does mean a lot, and I know that the recipients are going to be our kids, and that means the world to many of us. Talking about Veterans Day, I will put a pitch in there for Talkeaton Elementary at 10:15 on the 10th. They will be having a Veterans Day presentation as well. So if you are in the neighborhood or you'd like to take a drive up north, they would love to have you come and celebrate with them for a very important holiday that means a lot to so many people. On that note, if there are no other comments or any concerns from the board, I am going to ask that we convene to executive session. If someone could make a motion and second it.
I make a motion to move into executive session.
Second.
Okay, our executive session is going to be in regards to negotiations. Executive session matters the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the government unit, subjects that tend to prejudice the reputation and character of any person, provided that person may request a public discussion, matters which by law, municipal charter, or ordinance are required to be confidential, matters of confidential legal counsel, or pending litigation. Present in executive session this evening, all members of the school board, Superintendent Stone, Assistant Superintendent Luke Folt, Director of Human Resources, Katie Gardner. And with that, I move us into executive session. Thank you.